And ho, 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 this is Oliver Schirach with another Christmas special, the Advent Calendar from 2020. We're talking about books this year, and on the other side of my screen and microphone, I have Sue Reed in the UK. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
That's awesome. And I know Sue through a podcasting group, so let's find out if you in the future will listen to Sue on her own terms and on her own show. But for today, we're talking about two books, or it could be one book, and we already had someone talking about it, so that's going to be very interesting to see how you take the first of these two books. What books are they, and why did you choose them? Why are they so important to you?
Okay, so I've chosen to use Homo Sapiens and Homo Deus, which are two books. They're actually in a series of three, but I haven't read the third one yet. But they're by an author called Yuval Noah Harari, who is an Israeli professor. He was trained at Oxford, but I think he's now at the University of Jerusalem. And basically, the reason I've chosen them is I think there's an awful lot to learn from reading them. I just found them really gripping, and actually in a strange way, especially Homo Deus, quite scary, because he's talking about where we may be going as far as the humankind is concerned, where we might be, the road we're going down may or may not be a dangerous one. And so it's just his theory. I know he's been criticized because people have said, well, you don't have any evidence for that, you know, you haven't backed up any of your facts, but it's not really facts, it's just his opinion. And, you know, I think people have to appreciate that. Just read it, take it for what it is, and then make up their own mind. So that's really why I've chosen it. I mean, there are so many books I could choose. I love books. I'm an avid reader, but because these are the two that I've read, the kind of latest books, I thought I might as well go with those while they're fresh in my mind.
Okay. So how are the books written? Is it a storyline? Is it facts, examples?
It's very factual and very opinionated. So it's kind of, he's going through, he calls it a brief history of humankind, because he's covering the last, in effect, he's covering the last 2.5 billion years. So it would be a pretty long book. it's very, very brief. So it is very factual, but he's putting his opinion in it as well. It's not a story, you know, there's no characters in it. He's just saying, this is what happened.
Okay. But is it an easy read, or is it difficult?
There's a lot of facts to remember in there. So if you wanted to remember everything, it would be difficult. But it's an easy read in that you can get, if you're going by, you know, just following his opinion on stuff and following like the brief history, then it is an easy read.
Okay.
He puts, you know, quite a lot of figures in there, like how humanity has grown from, say, 500 years ago, there were something like 500 million people in the world. And then 500 years later, there's 7 billion. So humankind has grown dramatically. I did write it down actually, the goods and services, $250 billion a year in 1500, we produced globally in goods and services. That now is 60 trillion. So that's increased by 240 times. And then the amount of calories we consume, in 1500, it was 13 trillion calories consumed per day. Now we consume 1,500 trillion calories across the world.
Okay, so there's a lot of fun facts as well.
Yeah. So it's just basically saying how much we've grown. But what he says about humankind is man has been around for about 2.5 billion years. And originally we were just mammals. We weren't any different. we had one difference to the other mammals in the world, and that was we had fossils and remains, obviously, but we had larger brains, and that might have been like a clue as to what would happen in the future.
Can you say that again? Because it got stuck in the audio file.
All right, sorry.
The only difference we had, that's where it
goes. Yeah, so the only difference between humankind at that time and the mammals that were around us was humans had larger brains. So larger brains than any other mammal in comparison to the size of our body. So that might be a clue as to what might happen next. But between 2.5 billion years ago and 70,000 years ago, we didn't really change very much. We just toddled along. At some point in time, man found fire. They didn't really start using it as a powerful weapon until about 70,000 years ago. And then having control of fire, which we were the only mammal that had that, gave us basically limitless power. And then at that about that time, it's for some reason, we stopped being hunter-gatherers and we started to grow food, so grow our own food, keep our own animals. Don't really know why that started to happen, because actually it put us in more of a vulnerable situation, because you can't really run away from an enemy if you've got a homestead to look after, you know, growing your wheat and your cows in the barn, or you know, whatever they had in those days. So it puts us in a more vulnerable situation. But for whatever reason, they started to settle and they stopped moving around. Then after that, people started to live together, presumably for security. They must have thought, well, there must be safety in numbers. If we kind of all live together, we can protect each other. So villages started popping up. And then that started to grow into larger communities. And then once you get a large community, then you then need to have some sort of social constructs. So bringing in laws and religion. Obviously, you know, different languages, so people communicating more. So things were changing and we were gradually getting more and more power, but only in the last 500 years has humankind really become very powerful. So the first half of Homo sapiens is really just leading up to that point. So he's going through like Egyptian rulers and he's talking about the Roman Empire and like different points in time, but he only goes through them really briefly. The whole point is leading up to that 500 years ago, where he calls it the scientific revolution, where we really start to come into our own and really start to move fast with different discoveries.
Yes, and
so we were.
So this is basically sapiens or Homo sapiens is.
This is Homo sapiens.
Up to what? Up to now? Up to 2018 or when?
That takes you up to so the year 1500. Then 1500. So the second half of Homo sapiens is from 1500 to 2015,
okay.
Where he's just basically saying that. We become stronger and stronger, and we start working with biological engineering, genetic engineering. We see, you know, you've got man on the moon, we're inventing cars, televisions, like all the different things that we start to invent that make us become more powerful. And we take over the world, basically. So we put ourselves above. We're at the top of the food chain. We put ourselves above all other animals. And with that comes a sort of, as well as the power, it's kind of an ego, isn't it? That we no longer really care about the world, care about other animals, other beings as much, because they're not as useful as we are. We're the most powerful. So any animals that were no longer really needed anymore become extinct, either because we've hunted them down as a food source, or we've destroyed their environment, and they become extinct. And as a humankind, he says we kind of, you know, lost that respect. We don't respect them anymore because they're not us. They're not as good as us. So why are we bothered? Unless there's a reason for them to be here, like they provide our food, or they serve us in some way. Now that concept takes him into Homo sapiens, where he starts saying, well, when we're developing all these different ways of making ourselves fitter, stronger, healthier, more intelligent, that's great. That's a great path to go down, living longer, finding all these different cures for different illnesses, different medicines that we can take, vaccinations that we can take, finding all that's all well and good. But what are we doing with all that power? We're losing control of power, because one of the things we're doing now is we're looking at AI. So we're looking at artificial intelligence, and we're working on ways of having basically a virtual secretary to control your whole life. So to tell you what to do next, to tell you, you know, what to eat to be healthy, what to do, what appointments you've got next. You could find in the future that your fridge will tell the farm that you've run out of eggs, so can they deliver some, and then a self-drive truck will deliver them to your house, and all you need to do is put them in the fridge, which you may even then get a robot butler to do that for you. And so there's all these technologies that are coming into force, and we're thinking, well, this is great, you know, life in the future is going to be great, but why would you need a delivery driver? Why would you need a taxi driver? Why do you need surgeons? Why do you need doctors? Because if you look now, you go to a GP and the GP will more or less look on Google to see what's wrong with you. They put your symptoms in and then say, oh yeah, I think this is what's wrong with you. And that could be done by the computer. So we're building in all these new technologies, but we could get to the point in time where the artificial intelligence says, well, actually, we don't need you anymore. And then we become, going back to what I was saying about our view of lesser animals, lesser species, we become those lesser species. And when you go back to Homo sapiens, when you go back to up to 70,000 years ago, there were more than one type of human. There were about 6 or 7 different species. I think they found 6 so far, but they think there might have been more. So there were different species of humans walking around. Homo sapiens conquered all of them, and we then become the only human. And there's different theories about how that happened. We could have just gone to war with them and beaten them to death. But they've also found signs that there was some interbreeding going on. So we could have bred them out, basically. It's probably a mixture of both, he thinks.
I just think, sorry, my throat. I just think of the Neanderthal, right? But there's also evidence. I do not know if Sapiens is talking about that, but I think the last year I heard that they realized the Neanderthal was not as stupid as we thought they were. They were much more intelligent, but we apparently have some genes from the Neanderthal, at least that one. I do not know the other ones. I know there were some islands, some very small humans, hobbits.
that time, in different places, there were different types of humans. Yeah, I mean, I can't remember them now, but.
Yeah, all around the world. I mean, I've just seen also this year, I mean, we talk about, what's the name again? Bigfoot in the US and Yeti in India. So perhaps that was just another type of human.
Absolutely, yeah. Could well have been, yeah. Yeah, so we managed to make ourselves the only human left. But if we are able to upgrade ourselves in the future, and you can be more intelligent, you can have designer babies, you can be more beautiful, you can be healthier, you basically design your life and design your children the way you want them. Those people that can do that are likely to be the billionaires, the ones that can afford to buy that sort of technology. And therefore, the ones that are left, the rest of us, we then become potentially the lesser humans. And we may then get to the point where they say, well, you've served your purpose. We don't need you anymore. So we're not going to bother with your healthcare. We're not going to bother trying to make you better. You can just go and die, become extinct. And that's his big worry, that's where we'll end up.
Yeah, the Hunger Games society kind of, like...
Absolutely. You can look at so many films and think, yeah, is this where we're going?
Yeah, I just remember it was really looking like that. Little city protected from everything and all the other people outside. Yeah, just give us the food, you're stupid.
There's also, I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix, there's a series, I think it was 2 seasons so far, called Altered Carbon. And this is where everything, all your memories, everything that is essentially you is in this little chip, which they call a stack. And your stack can be taken out of an old body that's worn out and upgraded into a new body. So you can have, depending on how much money you've got, you can have any body you like. So, you can say what you want to be when you die. You can upgrade yourself. So the only way that these people can be killed is by destroying their stack, which is at the back, at the base of their brain.
Kind of like...
Really interesting.
Going back to Matrix, where you're connected with the Matrix.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dark season now, right? It's beginning of December. So probably should not... open Netflix too much. Otherwise, time passes. And I do not know where my time went. Yes, super. So yeah, you made a little mistake. You said Homo sapiens, but you meant Homo Deus, the second part for the listeners.
Oh, the second part, yeah, Homo Deus, yeah.
Because if the people didn't realize, yeah, the second part with the more black tainted.
Yeah, the second part is a little bit more doom and gloom. So he starts off talking about, how we are now, how great everything is, and how he says, like, for example, a typical work day, you get in your car now, you drive to work, you put your car in the car park, and then it sits there all day, and then you get in it at 5-6 o'clock and you drive home. So you might only use your car for 2 hours a day during the week, and then maybe a couple of times over the weekend. But there are billions and billions of cars across the world, and of course all of those are contributing to pollution. But suppose you had self-drive cars, which are becoming a reality. They're being within the next couple of years. So you have a self-drive car and you just put in your mobile app what time you go to work in the morning, what time you come home, and a car pulls up outside, you get in it, it knows where you need to go, so it takes you to work, drops you off, comes back again at 5 o'clock and picks you up. If you're going to work late, you just put in your computer and your mobile phone, you're working late, so the car knows to come an hour later. But then during the day, the car can be doing other things, like it can be acting as a taxi, it can be taking people shopping. So you don't need billions of cars. Now, that is a really good thing.
Yes.
But then, like he says, you get to the point where the car thinks, why am I taking you to work? Why don't I just go to work myself? The robot becomes the human.
Yeah, I know, but there's of course these securities they want to program. But we know these things can be hacked in the back. We have seen it with technology. People deny it. Yes, sorry if I offend you now when you listen, but Windows had some backdoors. Oh, what a surprise. And Linux definitely has, and the Apple computers as well. They are backdoors for anything. So you can hack that stuff. I mean, we know that everything can be hacked. The best security system eventually can be hacked, because that's the nature from it. And everything is changing all the time. So
yeah.
So we just hope.
And he says that's going to be he says that's going to be the nature of wars in the future. We won't need to like shoot each other or blow each other up. We will just cripple internet systems, and you could hijack an electricity board or something like that, and just cut the whole power down in a city or a country. That's the kind of cyber wars we'll be fighting. We won't be like fighting with guns anymore.
Okay, but let's leave it at that. It's Christmas time, so
it's not got too dark.
So what did you take out of it, basically, when you just like in a sentence or two for you, like let's look at the positive thing now, if you can.
I think looking at the positives, I think this is only just one person's opinion, and it is very doom and gloom, and I think it should be looked at as a warning that yes, we do want to move forward, we do want to improve our lives, of course we do, but let's just be careful about how much power we're giving away, how much of our own personal information we're giving away as well. We've seen with Facebook and Cambridge Analytica and things like that, how easily your information can be used for purposes you didn't have in mind. So I think the message is just be careful, think about what you're doing and what we're getting ourselves into. But probably don't take it all too seriously, because this is like looking years into the future.
Awesome. So for whom do you think that book is? Because I've heard it's kind of in the news everywhere. I listened to Tim Ferriss. That's why I heard him interview the author, also about the new book being a graphic novel, which has advantages, right, and other disadvantages, because drawings can transfer more information in one drawing compared to the written. So that's why I heard about it. And now someone else will show it on the 10th, I think. His opinion, and he also said, oh, he's going to be interested in hearing someone else's takeouts, right? So for who do you think is this book? Is it for everyone, or is it?
Oh. I don't think it's for everyone, because I think if you're the sort of person that is a bit of a conspiracy theorist or, buys into all this and takes it very, very seriously, I think it could worry you to death. I think it's good for somebody that just wants to have an idea of where we came from, how we progressed, and where we may be going in the future. Somebody maybe that is, quite keen on technology and genetics anyway, and has an interest in it, but maybe not somebody that is easily swayed by conspiracy theories, because I think you could drive yourself crazy with it.
Okay. And you said you're an avid reader. So how are you consuming books or reading books?
Well, I love proper books, but I have two bookcases full and an attic full. So my husband bought me a Kindle about 10 years ago now. So all my books now are on my Kindle, because I'm not allowed to buy anymore. And I tend to, I'll look for a book. So I might hear of if somebody says to me, this is a good book, I'll write it down and I'll look it up. But then what I tend to do is I might buy it and I might see something else similar that I think, well, that looks good as well. So I might buy two or three at the same time, read one of them, and the other two kind of get left to one side because I've already moved on to something else. So if you go through my Kindle, there are quite a few books that I haven't actually read yet. So I've kind of told myself, you need to start reading those books now. Don't buy any more new ones.
Okay. And do you also consume on Audible, audiobooks, or stuff like that?
No, I've never really got into that.
Okay.
I like to read myself. I'd rather than listen to somebody else reading.
Okay. And if you read that much, are you considering yourself a speed reader or just like a leisure reader and enjoying the time with a good cup of tea in front of the fireplace?
I think I'm not a speed reader. I wish I was and I could read more, but I tend to read for about an hour, a couple of hours a day. I read non-fiction and fiction. So, but I tend to read fiction before I go to bed for relaxation purposes.
Okay, super. Awesome. If you want anyone to reach out to you, can they do that? And if so, how?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook. I'm just under Sue Reed. I also have a website because when I'm not reading, I am a life coach, and I do help people really improve their lives. So I do have a website called lifebydesign.uk.
Awesome. And with that, we want to close the episode. So it's in the realm of short for my interviews. And yeah, for all the listeners, thank you for staying with us another day. And I hope you have enjoyed it a lot. Please leave messages. I mean, other questions you would like me to ask my guests or Sue in this case. And please go tomorrow to your podcast service and click on the next door. And I hope you enjoy it. Thank you, Sue, for being here and for the listeners.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you to the listeners for listening to me rambling on as well. So thank you.